Bless the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Lord. I won't complain. Amen. Amen. I believe from the testimony, you've had some good days. And you've had some bad days. But because of the goodness of Jesus, we've learned not to complain. Amen. Amen. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Come on, you can do better. Happy Sabbath, everyone. It is early in the morning, but I believe you're happy to be here today. If you're happy, let me hear you praise the Lord. If you're happy, let me shout hallelujah. God is good. And all the time, God is good. I'm especially delighted to be with you today. I want to say thanks to your pastor in his absence, even for the honor of sharing from the sacred desk once again. Amen. I want to thank you for your hospitality and for your reception. And to the Minister of Music, I want to thank you so much for your ministry this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to be out of your way shortly. I don't plan to take a long time this morning. I think if I stand here too long, I may well fall asleep. And that is because I'm literally operating, Elder, on 3 hours of sleep. And I think I got them sometime this morning before I was supposed to get here. So I apologize for taking time. But, you know, circumstances beyond our control. We were up all night last night. But God is good. Amen. And, of course, as far as the preaching of the word is concerned, I believe we can do it operating even in 1 hour of sleep. Amen, everybody? Amen, amen. Sister Hill is absent this morning, and of course she does send her regard, and I hope to be with you on the next occasion. Amen? All right. Our scripture reading today comes to us from John chapter 19. And of course, I will read in your hearing from verse 28 to verse 30, John, the 19th chapter, from verse 28 to verse 30. And of course, when you found it, we do invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 19, from verse 28 to verse 30. These verses will form the context of our sermonic discourse this morning. I believe you're there. So the New King James Version of the Bible reads, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And a vessel full of sour wine, was sitting there. And they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when he had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. The Lord hath already added a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the application of his holy word. I'd like to speak to you this morning from our topic, Tetelestai. Tetelestai. Your heads are bowed. Your heads are closed. Your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed, let us pray. Father, this morning we have gathered in this place to magnify your name and to worship you. We pray in this moment that you will help us just to forget about ourselves and concentrate in you and worship under you. In the process of God, we have come to hear a word from you. In times like these, we need to hear a word from you. So we pray today that you will disappoint us not. In the process, oh God, I do pray that you will move me out of the way if you must, so that Jesus Christ be seen, be known, and be heard. It is my constant prayer that the limitations of my vocabulary will not become an impediment to the clear communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even now I pray that you will be prepared to rescue the words that shall escape from my lips, even meet them in midair, and fix them and fit them to the ears and hearts of your children. Oh God, may they wrought a work not just of information, but of inspiration and transformation. And when we're done, I pray that we will be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Let all of God's children say, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Tetelestai, Tetelestai. Allow me, if you please, to indulge me, if you please, as I invite you on a journey back to ancient history. As we recount the final hours of our Savior's life, leading up to that moment when he made the victorious declaration that gave hope and a reason for our existence today. For his was a life of His was a life well spent of 33 years, and it has reached its culmination. A ministry of 3.5 years was ended. He had preached the gospel to the poor. He had healed the brokenhearted. He had preached deliverance to the captives. He had recovered the sight to the blind. He had set at liberty them that are bruised, and by this time he had preached his last sermon, served his last supper, and washed his last feet. And as a countdown to the drama of the ages unfolded, the fate of the world weighed heavily in the balance. For the prince of darkness, my friends, seemed to have prevailed by dealing what seemed a deadly blow to the Lamb of God. Judas had given him the betraying kiss. Peter had denied him 3 times. The Sanhedrin council had accused him and surrendered him into the hands of Pontius Pilate. Pilate sent him to Herod, and Herod sent him back to Pilate. But even though he found no fault in him, Pilate had him scourged and condemned even to death. Jesus the Christ was substituted for one of the region's most notorious criminals, Barabbas by name. You've heard of him. The streets were filled with people, but this time there was no sound of Hosanna. It was not a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. No palm branches were laid. No praise and adoration were sung. It was a grand march, but this time all roads led not into Jerusalem, but to the bloody hill called Calvary. He who was once welcomed as King of the Jews was at this point abandoned as a monstrous and notorious criminal. Jesus, who once rode into Jerusalem as king on the back of a donkey, now was dragged out of Jerusalem with a 400-pound cross on his shoulder. Hosanna cheer choruses turned into chanting and jeering. Those who once welcomed him as prince now rejected him as their prisoner. The voices which shouted Hosanna in the highest now shouted, crucify him, away with him, crucify him. Being battered and bruised and dehydrated, exhausted from a sleepless night, Jesus was led out of the city like a lamb to the slaughter. Whipped and weakened, Jesus is presented with the cross and is ordered to carry it through the streets of Jerusalem all the way to the place of the skull. As he marched in the midst of angry mobs, under the burden of the old rugged cross, it became clear that he was now despised and rejected of men, that he was wounded, spat upon, laughed at. Watch for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, as he dragged himself to the site of his crucifixion. The beams were put in place, and Jesus is quickly thrown backward with his shoulders against the wood. The Roman soldiers forcefully held his fragile body in position while another drives a heavy square iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly he moves to the other side and repeated the same agonizing action. The left foot is pressed backward against the right foot, and with both feet extended, toes down, a nail is extended, a nail is driven through the arc of each and deep into the vertical beam. The beam is then lifted at the top of the post and plunged into the ground. In attempt to avoid the stretching torment, he pushed himself upward and places his full weight on the nail that passed through his feet. But that doesn't seem to work, ladies and gentlemen. There is extreme agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the metatarsal bones in his feet. As his arms fatigue, great waves of cramps sweep over his muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, agonizing pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upward. Hanging by his arms, the pectoral muscles are unable to act to support him. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but none can be exhaled. Can you imagine the discomfort of our Lord as he fights to raise himself in an attempt to get even one short breath? Finally, ladies and gentlemen, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Fitfully, he is able to push himself upward in order to exhale. For hours, he endured limitless pain. Cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, erratic partial choking, and intense pains as tissues are torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down against the rough timber. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, it was in these moments, because prisoners of this time, hanging in this position on the cross, would then attempt to push upward with their feet in order to resist the pain and the discomfort that the nails were causing in their hands. In order, ladies and gentlemen, for this to happen, they need to push up. But the soldiers, ladies and gentlemen, knew that they would push up, and so they would move from one criminal to the next and use something strong to break the legs of each. As they break the legs of each, ladies and gentlemen, they're unable to push themselves up. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, the lungs are squeezed and air is unable to take in, and they suffer a painful, suffocating, agonizing death. But the Bible said, ladies and gentlemen, that they went to the first criminal and they broke his leg. And he suffered the suffocating, painful death. They went to another and they broke his legs. And he suffered an agonizing, painful death. But when they came to Jesus, when they came to Jesus in an attempt to break his legs, the Bible said he was already dead. Because the Bible makes it clear that not one bone in his body would be broken. Is anybody in the church with a preacher? And in order to ensure that he was dead, they took a spear and they ran it through his side. And the Bible said blood and water ran from his side. And in that moment, ladies and gentlemen, it became clear that there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And that sinners who plunge beneath that flood will lose all of their guilty stains. Ladies and gentlemen, our Lord did not die at the hands of men, but he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That is why he declared, if I lay this temple down, I can pick it back up. They tried, ladies and gentlemen, to kill him, but he gave up the ghost in order that you and I might be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, he can feel the chill of death creeping through his body. With one last surge of strength, he once again presses his torn feet against the nails, straighten his legs, and take a deeper breath. And with every strength and one last breath, he utters his last cry from the cross. He utters the victorious, glorious cry from the cross. In this one cry, ladies and gentlemen, the hope of humanity is summed up. In this one last cry, ladies and gentlemen, the devil has dealt his last defeat. In this one cry, ladies and gentlemen, the enemy of our soul have been conquered. In this one last cry, ladies and gentlemen, he is declaring victory from the cross. In this one last cry, ladies and gentlemen, he is declaring victory over the power of sin. With this one last cry, ladies and gentlemen, he is declaring victory over the penalty of sin. He cried, "It is finished." The Greek word tetelestai, which means in English, it is finished. What a glorious assurance this morning to know, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a word in the Greek called tetelestai, that there is an expression in the English called it is finished. And because it is finished, then God's people have no business in sin, because sin is finished. I said, because it is finished, then the power of the sin has no power over you, because sin has been broken. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil's cry. The devil, ladies and gentlemen, would have us to believe that it is impossible to live without sin. Are you still with the preacher? I said he would have us believe that it is impossible to live without sin. However, ladies and gentlemen, the devil's hold on us, the devil's hold on us was broken. The Bible said by one man, sin entered into the world. And ladies and gentlemen, because of that, sin had been passed on to all of us. But all it takes to break the power of sin is for one man. I don't know if you're still in the church, but I said just for one man to live without sin. And once that one man has lived without sin, then the power of sin has been broken. And since the power of sin has been broken, I hear the Apostle Paul said, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Because you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Sin shall no longer be your ruler. Sin shall no longer dominate you. Is anybody in the church with me today? Because Jesus Christ lived and died without sin. This word, ladies and gentlemen, has been a profound word in philosophical, educational, and religious circles for centuries. Scholars have debated it. Teachers have taught on it in class. And philosophers have created ideas around it. Preachers have preached sermons on it. This word, tetelestai, is an unfamiliar Greek word to us. But it is used, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. It is used, ladies and gentlemen, by various people in everyday life in ancient time. In our English language, three words are used to translate this one word. The three words are, it is finished. Now, there are many ways in which this word was used in ancient times. But I'd like to share with you at least three ways. How many ways, everybody? Three. At least three ways in which it was used in an attempt to help us understand what Jesus really meant. When on that dark and dreadful day, he shouted from the top of his lungs on the old rugged cross, it is finished. Now, the first way in which it was used was during the times of the sacrificial system. As the people brought their lambs for sacrifices, before they could offer them up, the priest had to first take the lamb and examine it to ensure that it had satisfied the sacrificial requirements. If the lamb was found spotless and without blemish, the priest would say to the people, tetelestai. You see, the lamb, ladies and gentlemen, must be without spot, must be without blemish, must be without any defect. It cannot have a broken leg. It cannot have spots. It cannot be blind in one eye. Are you still with me today? It must be perfect. And even as it is perfect, ladies and gentlemen, the priest must examine it, and then the priest must declare that it is perfect for sacrifice. Amen. Tetelestai in this context means that the sacrifice was accepted. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus was arrested, they brought him to Pontius Pilate, and then they sent him back to Herod. And Pilate said, I found no fault in him. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, Pilate was clearing him for sacrifice, but Pilate could not offer him for sacrifice. And therefore, when the cry came, who should we sacrifice? Who do you want, Jesus or Barabbas? The priest declared Jesus. In that moment, ladies and gentlemen, the priest, I don't know if anybody's in the church with the preacher, but I said, in that moment, the priest, ladies and gentlemen, gave up Jesus as a sacrifice. You see, Pilate couldn't offer him because Pilate was not the priest. Only the priest could declare him fit for sacrifice, and it is that priest. Am I talking to anybody in the church? I said it was the priest who gave up Jesus to be sacrificed. I stopped by to tell you that what I hear Jesus saying on the cross today is that, Father, tetelestai, this sacrifice is acceptable. This sacrifice has passed the test. And since this sacrifice has passed the test, I can now die in peace. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I hear him saying that he was the perfect sacrifice, that he was the spotless Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Tetelestai. In all points, he was found perfect. Sinless, tetelestai. No spot, tetelestai. No blemish, tetelestai. The sacrifice he made on the cross was accepted, tetelestai. It is no wonder the Bible said, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And because the sacrifice was spotless and perfect, humanity has the opportunity to accept justification, sanctification, and glorification. I stopped by to tell you, tetelestai, it is finished. The sacrifice is accepted. The second way in which the word was used, ladies and gentlemen, was used as merchants, was used by merchants and tax collectors. You see, whenever a person owed a merchant or tax collector money, such a merchant or tax collector would record in his books the names of all those who owed him. But as soon as the debt has been settled, sometimes I get excited all by myself. I said, as soon as the debt has been settled, the merchant or the tax collector would write beside the name of the debtor the word tetelestai. It means that your debt has been paid in full. And there's no more credit on this man. Tetelestai. Your debt has been paid in full. I think what I hear Jesus saying on the cross, Father, there was a time when the human race was subjected to death. For justice demanded death. For the wages of sin is death. Death as a payment for sin. For the soul that sinneth, it shall die. There was a time when forgiveness of sin required blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Justice required a payment that no man could offer. One that no angel could satisfy. But I hear Jesus saying, Father, I came to pay the ultimate price. And now I can proclaim to you, tetelestai. It is finished. The debt owed by humanity has been paid in full. I said it has been paid in full. He didn't pay it halfway. He paid it in full. He didn't just pay it a part. He paid it in. Can I talk to somebody today? I said my debt has been paid in full. That which the blood of goats and turtle doves could not do. Tetelestai. It is finished, for the blood of Jesus Christ is still efficacious to wash us from every stain of sin. No wonder the songwriter said it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that Jesus shed will never ever lose its power. Can I talk to you? I said it shall never ever lose its power. Today I stand here to tell God's people, you are debt free. I said you are debt free. The price that you owed has been paid. I don't want to tell you just how good God is.
Because you see, you owed a debt that you couldn't pay. Because if you paid the debt, you couldn't live. I wish I had a church. I said, if you paid the debt, you couldn't live. But God loves you so much that God does not wish that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Jesus said, how do I pay the debt and still save the soul of my children? Well, Jesus said, the best way for me to do it is to give myself. I said, to give myself a payment for your sin and then give you credit for it as if you had paid me. I said, tetelestai, it is finished. You don't have to walk around in sin, tetelestai. You don't have to carry your burdens, tetelestai. You don't have to carry your guilt, tetelestai. It has all been paid. They say there are three tenses of sin. Three tenses of sin. Or three tenses of salvation, rather. There is justification. What has been done, past tense. There is sanctification. What is being done, present tense. And there is glorification. What will be done, future tense. Is anybody in the church with me today? I think what I hear Jesus saying is that you have been saved. You are being saved. And you will be saved. I don't think I heard a church. I don't know why the church is not excited. But I said, he said, you have been saved. You are being saved. And you will be saved. Is anybody in the church with me today? In other words, what Jesus is saying is this. I came and I paid the penalty for sin. Justification. Can I talk to the church? I broke the power of sin. Sanctification. And then I'm coming back to get rid of the presence of sin. Glorification. Is anybody in the church with me today? Jesus is saying that the work will be completed. But I can declare from now that it is already finished.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen. The word was used by slaves or servants. Whatever slave or servant was through carrying out his master's task, he or she would say to his master, Master, tetelestai, which in this context means the task has been completed. Sometimes I get excited by myself. I told you that before. After 33 years of walking among men, healing the sick, raising the dead, restoring sight to the blind. After 33 years, after 3.5 years of preaching and teaching, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant and humbled himself unto death, wanted the world to know that he had accomplished the mission on which his Father had sent him. So that on that cross, on that day, he shouted, tetelestai. I'd like to make it a little plainer by telling you of a time when I was living with my grandmother. I wonder if anybody in the church has a grandmother. You see, my grandmother, ladies and gentlemen, before she would leave the house, Elder, for work, or leave the house to go to the farm, she would leave us with a list of chores to do. Chores. I don't know if the young people today have never heard about them. They're called chores. Some stuff that you must do. Is anybody in the church with me? And as we complete, knowing our grandmother, she was a lady of the fine details. And she expected that which she gave you to do must be done. And because of past experiences, where she gave us something to do, and it was not done, and she ensured that we understood that it must be done. You see, my grandmother didn't do a lot of talking, but boy, her silence was effective. Is anybody in the church with a preacher today? And ladies and gentlemen, what we decided to do is that as we complete each item on the list, we'll put a check beside it. We fed the fowls in the yard. I believe you call them chicken. The Bible called them fowls. We fed the fowls in the yard.
check. We swept the yard, check. We washed the dishes, check. We found wood for the fire, check. We got the goats from the bush. I don't know who I'm talking to. Hallelujah. Check. Is anybody in the church with me today? We cleaned the floor. Check. We made our beds. Check. We ensured that the house was clean. Check. So it was with our Lord, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that God had given him to do. And hear me before I go up there. By the time my grandmother reaches home, she is examining every single thing that she has given us to do. We have this practice. We have this big yard, and we have this practice, ladies and gentlemen, of sweeping the stuff and then leaving it behind the kitchen because it was kind of rough in the back, and we knew she wouldn't go behind there, and so it would appear as if the task had been completed. But my grandmother is a lady of the fine details. Can I talk to the church? And one day she came home and she went to the back of the, can I talk to the church? And realized that this particular task has not been fully completed. I'm so glad to know that Jesus is not like me. When his father gave him a task, he didn't just do it halfway, but he did it completely. Check. Can I talk to the church? Everything he did, he put a check mark. Born in a manger, tetelestai. Restored sight to the blind, tetelestai. Brought salvation to the world, tetelestai. Preached the acceptable year of the Lord, tetelestai. Wounded for your transgression, tetelestai. Bruised for iniquity, the government upon his shoulder. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver, tetelestai. The death of Christ provided full satisfaction for sin, provided a fatal blow to the devil, and provided a fountain of grace so that will always flow forever. It also provided a foundation of peace that will last forever. It is as a result of what he did why we sing, we have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I have this hope. I've had some hard days, so I have this hope. I've had some bad days, but the reason I won't complain is because I have this hope. I don't know if there are two other people in the church that has this hope. But I have this hope that burns within my heart. Hope in the coming of the Lord. He was bruised that we might be healed. He went through hell so that we might get to heaven. He became slave so that we might become princes and princesses. He gave his life so that we might live. He became sin that we might become his righteousness. Everything that could have been done to ransom mankind from sin, he has done it. Everything that could be done to save your soul from sin, he has done it. Against that background, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said he became sin for us, which means on the cross he became sin. It is for that reason he could no longer feel the presence of his Father, because he was now the very embodiment of sin. And sin cannot exist in the presence of a holy God. Because if a holy God looks too hard at sin, because he's a consuming fire. So the Father had to turn his back from his Son because he became sin. But here is the good news. Because he became sin, and because he died, it means that sin is dead. I got a sleeping church. I said sin is dead. That's why Paul says sin shall no longer have dominion over you is dead. Is anybody in the church with me today? It is dead. Therefore, we don't walk around with dead things. We bury them. I don't know if anybody in the church. We are not undertakers. We don't keep that which is dead. We put it in the ground. Is anybody in the church with me? I don't know what sin you're carrying today, but I stop by to tell you it is dead. I don't know what the devil told you, but I stop by to tell you it is dead. It is time for you to bury your besetting sin so that you can walk in peace with God. Your sin is dead. Everything that could be done has been done. The work of salvation has been finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. Amen. Stand with me, everybody. Songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. And I understand that we have come to a time when the humankind has become desensitized to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Doesn't thug at the heart the way it used to. Doesn't seem graphic and unfair the way it used to. I think sometimes people have taken the idea that we are deserving of what Jesus did. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not deserving. That's why they say grace is God giving you what you do not deserve. And mercy is God withholding from you that which you did deserve. The wages of sin is death, that what you deserve. But he gave us the gift of eternal life. That is what we did not deserve. And today, as I stand here, I just want to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you have done for me in Calvary's cross. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for the hope. I don't know if anybody in the church want to join me in saying, Lord, thank you. If you want to say thank you, just raise those hands. Let the devil know that you're saying thank you to Jesus for what he has done. Praise God. Praise God. Well, certainly because I really thank him. And I'm so appreciative of what he has done. I'm going to make a commitment to him right now. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm so grateful for what you have done for me, that I would demonstrate my gratefulness by living a life above sin, by giving my life to you every single day and living for Jesus, growing in grace, maturing in my walk with God, growing in the power and might of God, moving from strength to strength, from glory to glory every day. I want to say, Lord, sin shall not become my ruler, because it is dead. I'm going to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. I don't know if anybody want to join me today and say, Lord, because I'm so grateful, I'm going to live my life by your grace so that I might grow in your Spirit, that each and every single day I will give my life back to Jesus. If that's you, why don't you raise your hand right where you are? Just raise your hand right where you are. Bless the name of the Lord. And finally, as we pray, there's somebody who's saying, Lord, I just want to recommit my life to you today in full and total surrender. Maybe you once walked with the Lord, but you fall down and you get up. And you just want to say, Lord, help me to become, to start brand new with you again. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you are. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Maybe there's someone in the house that has not yet given your life to Jesus. You have not yet committed your life to Jesus. You have not yet been to the crimson flood. You have not yet been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have not yet declared Him to be your Lord and your Savior. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand today so that we can pray for you, that by the grace of God, you'll do so before it is too late. Do we have one? Do we have one? Do we have one? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Do we have another? Do we have another? Do we have another in the house? Do we have another? Who just want to claim Jesus today as your Savior? You just want to claim Him as your Lord. You want to say, when I look at the cross and see what you have done, I just want to take you for myself. Is there one more? Bless the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you for the blessed assurance of tetelestai. It is finished. Thank you, God, that the price has been paid. Thank you, Jesus, that my soul has been redeemed. Thank you, Lord, that my sins have been washed away. Thank you, Lord, that the penalty for my sin has been paid. Thank you, Lord, that the power of sin has been broken. Therefore, sin shall not have dominion over me. Thank you, God, that one day sin itself will be burnt up in a lake of fire, and there shall be no more sin. Thank you, Jesus. And because I thank you, oh God, help us today to live for Jesus, to commit our lives in total surrender, to come up to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, to mature in our faith, to grow in grace, to reflect your character and live up to the holy divine standards that you have set. Oh God, I pray that you live out your life within me. Oh Jesus, King of Kings, be thou thyself the answer through all my questionings. And then Father, I pray, God, that you'll take my life and let it be. Take all our lives and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take our silver and our gold. Not a mite would we withhold. Take our life, Jesus. Take our lives. And let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Oh God, continue to save us. And when you come in glory, save your people, we pray. May we declare, as we stand on the sea of glass, tetelestai. Tetelestai. We made it by the grace of God. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Sin is finished. Suffering is done. Death is buried. Sin is past. Tetelestai. It is finished. Oh God, may this be your hope. And may this be your experience. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that all of God's children say.